everybody. Bill Buckmaster raring to go on this midweek edition, Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, my pal on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, it is the autumn of the atmospheric river up in British Columbia, Washington State, Northern California. Especially this most recent storm has just really, really caused all sorts of problems in Western Washington and British Columbia.
That's an interesting description, and the same sort of thing that hit California, Northern California, and
yep.
parts of Oregon
about
a week or so ago.
Yep. And
an atmospheric river.
Atmospheric river.
There's so much moisture in the air
yep.
that it's just coming, dumping out like a river.
Yep. And some of those areas of British Columbia and Canada had their driest summer, of course, ever, with one entire town wiped out by wildfires. And now look what's going on. All right, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters KVOI, like K-Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from the 24/7 service, KVOI.com. Our live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, based at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to the health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her at her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at VMazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. And, you know, we all are striving. And I think I know I am. I like to get a good night's sleep. I know when I was on vacation up in Northern California, up in the Mendocino area in October, I couldn't believe it, but I literally slept 8 to 12 hours. It seemed like straight through. That doesn't happen when I'm here in Tucson. I guess just the everyday stress of working and all of that. But most of us get up a lot. I mean, some get up a lot, but most of us wake up at different points during the night, don't we?
Yeah, you know, we have this myth, which is that you're going to sleep like a log, you know, with the implication that you're just going to lay there and not move and not wake up. And it turns out that is actually a myth, that it is normal. Let me repeat that. It is normal to wake up periodically through the night. Sometimes we don't even know that we have woken up. Other times we're clearly aware we've woken up, we turn over, we puff up our pillow, change into a more comfortable position. Sometimes we go to the bathroom briefly, but then we go right back to sleep. And that's totally fine as long as you wake up in the morning feeling like you're rested.
Well, when I do wake up and wake up a couple of times during the night, I make the mistake sometimes, Dr. Mazes, of reaching over and checking the clock. Big mistake.
Yeah, I think so. It can definitely make you anxious because
yep.
then there's this sense of, oh my goodness, it's 2 o'clock. What if I don't fall back to sleep? Or I'm only going to get 5 hours tonight because here I am awake. And so For most people, looking at the clock is not a good strategy. Also, so many of us use our cell phones these days as our alarm clocks and as our timepiece. And it's better not to sleep with that near your head because it creates an electromagnetic field. So if possible, stick it a further away. Like perhaps if you have a bathroom adjacent to your bedroom, charge it there and you could hear the alarm from there. But better not to sleep with it right by your head, and better not to check the time.
Waking up during the night does not necessarily mean you have insomnia, correct, Dr. Mazes?
That is correct, because it is, as I said, normal to wake up through the night. Our bodies have these different rhythms. Most people have heard of the circadian rhythm, which is the 24-hour clock, and there's a normal time to go to bed. And even if you're in a cave, for example, with no daylight, still people get tired in the evening, you know, late in the evening, and they wake up in the morning. So that's what we call the circadian rhythm. But then there are shorter rhythms, and one of them is called the ultradian rhythm. And this was discovered by a sleep researcher, and he found that people have these 90 minutes, of high-frequency brain activity, which sometimes is associated with REM sleep, and then they have quieter brain activity. And these rhythms also actually happen during the day, which may help explain why sometimes in the afternoon you've been so productive and then you hit a slump. So we have these 90-minute cycles that go through the night, and it may be that some wakefulness at the end of each of that 90-minute period is normal.
The 90-minute period, does that, as we get closer to the morning, is that period compressed?
Well, it's not necessarily, but sleep varies during the night. Sometimes the sleep researchers will say that the deepest sleep is actually earlier into the morning hours. And so waking up at 3 or 4 may cause you to lose out on some of that really healthy, deep, restorative sleep.
How about problems with sleep and what's called sleep apnea?
Well, in sleep apnea, that is a significant problem, and sometimes it's not easily picked up. One easy way to pick it up is if you have a sleep partner. So if your sleep partner says, wow, you stop breathing during the night, that's definitely a go to the doctor and get yourself tested for sleep apnea. If your sleep partner says your snoring has just gotten so incredibly bad, that can sometimes be associated with sleep apnea and may be a reason to kind of check it out. If you kind of did what you did on vacation, you're getting 8, 9, 10 hours of sleep and you still feel completely unrested, sometimes that's a sign of sleep apnea because you're having periods where you're just not getting enough oxygen to the brain, which is what happens in sleep apnea, and then that can make you feel unrested when you get up in the morning and tired throughout the day.
Luckily, after those 8 to 12-hour sleeps, I felt actually fantastic. I couldn't believe it. I just felt so good. And, you know, when we do get up during the night, some people, coffee consumption could be an issue. Perhaps people drinking maybe a lot of water before they go to sleep could result in some frequent trips to the bathroom. Some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things about coffee that people don't realize is it can stick around in your system for a while. So how long something takes to be metabolized, to be broken down, is what we call the half-life. And that's how long it takes it to kind of cut the dose in half. And we need 5 half-lives to essentially get rid of it from our body. So the half-life of caffeine is somewhere between 2.5 and 4.5 hours. So if it's 2.5 hours, you multiply by 5, that would be 12.5 hours, which means if you have coffee after maybe 10 in the morning, some of it's still there at 10 at night. Now, it varies. We've all met people who have a cup of coffee with after dinner, and the waiter will say, would you like decaf? And they're like, oh, no, you know, I want the real thing. And when they say they want the real thing, it to me usually means, oh, they're a fast metabolizer. You know, they just break down that caffeine super fast. And when you say, doesn't that interfere with your sleep? They'll go, oh, no, I'll go right to bed. I'll have no trouble whatsoever. You know, other people are really sensitive to caffeine, and the reverse, you know, they drink any coffee or even maybe iced tea after 10 o'clock in the morning, and they find themselves having trouble falling asleep at night. So, you know, be aware that drinking a lot of coffee, especially if you are on that slower metabolism side, can be interfering. And similarly, you know, if you drink a lot of fluids right before you go to bed, well, then your kidneys are doing what they're supposed to be doing and waking you up and sending you off to the bathroom.
You know, we're trying to eat our dinner earlier in the evening rather than eating and going to bed. That eating and going to bed can present other issues, not just with concerning sleep, but insulin levels. So we're trying to eat earlier in the evening. What about snacking late at night?
Yeah, so let me just say kudos to you and Anne for doing that. We are becoming more aware of what we call a prolonged nightly fast and the value of that. So a prolonged nightly fast might mean you don't eat anything after 7 p.m. and then you don't eat the next morning until, say, 8 a.m. And that would give you 13 hours where you're not eating. And it turns out that's really good for your metabolism. So you mentioned insulin. It's good for your regulating your insulin levels, which means you're going to be less likely to get diabetes, for example. It also is good when you do that 13-hour fast at night for preventing recurrence of breast cancer. And it probably has all sorts of other immune system benefits. So that in and of itself is a reason to say, you know, maybe better not to have a bedtime snack. You know, it's probably not a healthy thing for us.
Well, it is time to talk about our favorite bakery, Dr. Mays's Mona's Danish Bakery. And they're excited about Thanksgiving coming up, and they're taking orders for our for what type of bread rolls you'd like on the table. What about pies, Dr. Mays's? Do you go with a traditional kind of pumpkin pie, or what are your favorites?
Well, I'm going to just say that pies are a wonderful feast food, and my favorite is definitely pecan.
Mmm. Sounds good. Pecan pie. Well, Steve and the team can definitely take care of that request up at Mona's Danish Bakery. They're open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Put your order in for your dinner rolls and your pies, because after all, Thanksgiving, believe it or not, is 1 week from tomorrow. We'll have more with Dr. Mays's as we continue in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, right after this quick break.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our Liveline guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It is our midweek edition. Always a pleasure to welcome our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, the news in health, anyway, continues to be dominated by COVID. Here we are, 20 months into the COVID-19 pandemic. There is news that Pfizer has asked the Food and Drug Administration to authorize its COVID antiviral pill. Is this exciting news? Should we be real optimistic about this? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's so encouraging to me to see that there are beginning to be antiviral medicines that don't require intravenous or IV treatments. As you all know, there was another medicine that got approval called molnupiravir, and that is also for people who are at high risk of serious disease. This new one, Paxlovid, is for people who are unvaccinated, and there was a big study done by Pfizer that showed that it significantly reduced the risk of hospitalizations or death when it was given to people as soon as they started showing symptoms. So to have something to treat people who are showing bad symptoms that, you know, if they continue, might lead to a hospitalization or to them dying, is just a really important advance in us getting in front of this virus.
Is this a protocol kind of like the Tamiflu pill, which is given within the first, say, 72 hours if you have flu symptoms?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, as soon as there's significant symptoms, the pill is actually prescribed 30 pills over 5 days. So that's, you know, 6 pills a day. But it looked very promising, and Pfizer has asked for an emergency use authorization. It's ramping up production. And also, I think from a world view, it has reached an agreement to allow manufacturers in developing nations, 95 developing nations, to manufacture and then to sell it very inexpensively. So that's also going to be a real advance in places that don't yet have widespread vaccination.
I was wondering about the cost here in this country, whether this would not be, I assume, Dr. Mazes, like the shot, the COVID shot, which is free to the consumer.
I haven't seen anything written about that. So, yes, vaccinations have been made free to the consumer. They'll either bill your insurance if you have insurance, or they'll just write it off, you know, as a federal government expense because we're dealing with a pandemic. And I haven't seen anything written yet about what will be done in terms of who will bear the price tag for this new pill. So that's an interesting question.
It would be dispensed then by the pharmacy, and then would be taken at home and not in a in a medical care setting. It would be done at home.
That's exactly right. And so it becomes much less expensive for our healthcare system and much more accessible and much easier. We have the monoclonal antibodies, which can certainly make a difference, but they require you going to the emergency department or, you know, perhaps your doctor's office if they're carrying it and having an IV line placed. So it's much easier and you know, kind of how our healthcare system more typically works, that you'd be able to just pick this up at the pharmacy.
Now, the booster, since we spoke last month, I have taken my third shot, the Moderna booster. I did have another robust reaction like I had after the second Moderna shot, and I guess that's actually a good thing that happened. As far as the booster, Pima County has now said that if you want a booster and you're over 18, you can get it. Do you think that's kind of the direction we're going in this country?
I think so. I saw in the news yesterday that the FDA is considering approving the booster for everyone over 18. So exactly what you just saw Pima County doing. And indeed, some states have gone forward without the FDA approval or recommendation. So California, Colorado, Arkansas are all offering boosters to anybody as long as they're past 6 months from their second dose. So that's now the only limitation. I heard Tony Fauci speak about this recently, and of course he couldn't say what the federal policy was going to be, but he said as an immunologist, he did see that a booster was probably going to be necessary. So how we think about this, there are other vaccinations that require three shots to be fully effective. One of them is for human papillomavirus. You know, through childhood, we sometimes get multiple shots, like DPT, the diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, you know, requires multiple shots. So it's not so unusual. The new shingles vaccine is a two-shot regimen. So it's not so unusual that you would need to have multiple. And I think we still don't know whether Delta is sort of the final bad variant or whether there's going to be further mutation of this virus so that we may need another booster in another 6 months or another year to avoid getting COVID.
There's far too much disease, COVID-19, still in our community. The daily counts are some of the highest we've seen in many months. So folks may want to consider masks over the holiday period for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate your saying that. I'll just say I have also had my booster. I had Pfizer, so that also is now recommended for a third shot. As a doctor, I am at some increased risk of exposure, and so I was happy to be able to get that booster. I do wear a mask when I go indoors or if I'm crowded together near people, and I think it's just being erring on the side of caution.
I think some of the masking may continue in healthcare settings. I was thinking about,
yes.
I was reflecting on how we're going to change when we finally come out of this pandemic. And my guess is, and you'll certainly, your opinion is more valued than mine when it comes to the healthcare setting, but it would seem to me that that is one protocol that I think will emerge out of this, that we will be masked up.
Yeah, I think that that's certainly a possibility. I've heard colleagues say they're going to keep wearing a mask, long into the future. I can imagine airplanes also that mm-hmm. we might decide that there are places where we might say, you know, it's flu season. I don't want to get the flu. And so it is possible that some of our practices are going to change. Caution is definitely worthwhile, and especially if you're over a certain age where this virus poses greater risk.
For that pill that we were discussing a few minutes mm-hmm. ago, the Pfizer pill, so is this now imminent to pharmacies, or is this still a couple of months away?
I don't think it's months away, but it is soon. It's not yet available, but I think it will be available in the next few weeks. I saw early December.
And you would need a doctor's prescription to get
correct.
The pill, correct?
Correct.
All right. So what kind of year through this COVID year has it been for the Weill, Andrew Weill Center, the Andrew Weill Center for Integrative Medicine? It's been a difficult year, but you all are moving forward.
Yeah, we are. And one thing I thought I would mention is in the news just before your show, the news reported that overdose deaths from the opioid epidemic, also an epidemic, reached more than 100,000, which is the highest we've ever had in, the past year.
Yeah.
And I am very proud that our center is doing a statewide project in the state of Arizona. We have a course about non-pharmacologic management of chronic pain. Mm. And so we are teaching doctors and dentists and nurse practitioners and all the people who prescribe opioids other ways that they might be able to manage pain. This is a free study. You can enroll now in the course, which has CME, starts in January.
Good information. So there are other avenues, right, beside addictive drugs to manage pain?
Yes, and so while opioids can be incredibly helpful for acute pain, they are not the only option there, and they're certainly not the best option for most people with chronic pain.
All right. On that note, we'll leave it right there. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving to you and yours, Dr. Mazes.
And to you as well, Bill.
Thanks a lot. You can learn more about Victoria Mazes on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Supervisor Rex Scott is in the house. He will be with me live in studio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. Midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Yes, Thanksgiving is a week from tomorrow. How about some poinsettias around the house before company comes for Thanksgiving? Your poinsettia headquarters is Green Things. They grow thousands of them, and the colors are just absolutely amazing. Greenhouses full of poinsettias. They are ready now for you and your home and for your family. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful area over there, that part of Pima County. It has been the home to Green Things for 51 years. They are open daily. It's a 13-acre site. It really is a destination in itself. When you're there, stop by Zocalo Village. Look at the Christmas items that they have. Beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Visit GreenThingsAZ.com on the web and ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me in studio, Pima County Supervisor. He represents the first Supervisorial District, which is pretty much the foothills and parts of the northwest side. He is Supervisor Democrat Rex Scott. Rex, how are you?
Doing really well, Bill. Thanks, as always, for this monthly opportunity to be with you, Tom, and your listeners.
I was just wondering, I was thinking about your first name. Why did your parents name you Rex?
Well, I'm
And Rex is not a nickname.
It's not. It's just those... That simple three-letter name, and I'm going to date myself when I say this, but my parents had just seen the film version of My Fair Lady with Rex Harrison around the time that they had to start deciding on baby names, and that was their boy name.
So there we go, Rex Scott. All right, how is Mr. Huckleberry doing? Pima County Administrator Huckleberry was in that very unfortunate accident in downtown. He was at a stoplight. There was a two-vehicle accident right in front of him at the stoplight. One of the vehicles was pushed into him. He was seriously injured. That's almost a month now. What do we know?
Well, I think we got a really positive sign of the fact that Chuck is thank God, steadily improving by the fact that when we reopened the historic courthouse recently, his wife, Maureen, came to the ceremony. And I don't think she would have left Chuck's side if his condition didn't warrant her being able to do so. She also told a very amusing story to everybody who was gathered for the historic reopening, which was that her arm still hurt. This was on Tuesday the 9th because she had spent much of the previous Saturday holding up her cell phone so that Chuck could watch the U of A game. Apparently, he couldn't get the Pac-12 network on the television in his hospital room. But we are very encouraged by what we heard from Mrs. Huckleberry, and we are. She also made a joke about how she knows that we are all missing those tome-like memos that Chuck is famous for writing. I always told him that I'm glad that I was a liberal arts major when I was in college, because I'm therefore used to doing a lot of heavy reading.
They are legendary, those memos from Mr. Huckleberry. We hope he's back dictating them very soon. My friend Jan Lesher is doing a nice job. She has really stepped up.
She really has, and under extraordinarily trying circumstances, both personally and professionally, because Mr. Huckleberry and Ms. Lesher have known each other for a long time. And she's also got a terrific team around her with the other deputy administrators and all of the department heads. That's something I've been really impressed with since taking office 10 months ago, is the level of professionalism and dedication that you find throughout the Pima County workforce, and that starts with leadership.
We're speaking with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Supervisor Scott's district will be especially hard hit. I'm a member of that district. I live in the foothills, and my neighbors, our home, and all of our neighbors are going to be hit with an additional water rate.
And
it's called a differential water rate.
That's correct, Bill. But in this case, differential is synonymous with higher. You and your neighbors, some of whom have been Tucson Water customers for decades.
40 years, some cases.
Yep. Yeah. And so then, and that's one of the reasons that I have opposed this plan by Tucson Water and Tucson City government ever since it was proposed. And I'm pleased to tell you that we had an executive session with representatives from the Pima County Attorney's Office yesterday to talk about the options that we might pursue on the legal front to prevent the imposition of these rates when they take place on when they're supposed to go into effect on December 1st. And although I can never discuss what we cover in an executive session of the board, I can tell you that this morning we scheduled a special meeting of the Pima County Board of Supervisors for next Wednesday at 9 a.m. And there's one item on our agenda, and that is the county's response to the pending imposition of these higher water rates on many of our constituents solely in unincorporated Pima County. There are people who live outside the city limits who live in other incorporated jurisdictions, Marana, Oro Valley, South Tucson. They're not being charged these higher rates. The only people who are the roughly 29% of Tucson Water customers who live in unincorporated portions of the county. And it has been a wrong-headed proposal since it was first put on the table by Tucson City government. They put together, after the fact, a cost of service study that tries to justify something that they were planning to do all along. And we are going to advocate for our constituents and ratepayers who, like you, have been customers of Tucson Water for decades. And we're going to take whatever measure is necessary to prevent and fight the imposition of these higher water rates.
The city points to that cost of service study, Rex Scott, and they say, look at the study. They believe it's adequate. You say it is not adequate.
It isn't. There are a number of factors that they did not look at, and they certainly were not considering cost of service throughout the entire Tucson Water service area. What they did was they cherry-picked data that helped justify the decision that they had made months before so that they could justify that decision not just legally but politically. But our county staff has put out a number of documents that point out many of the flaws in that cost of service study, the factors that were not determined. And really, I think the bottom line is that when you're getting well over 80% of the region's allocation of CAP water, you are a regional water provider. You may say that you're not. You may claim that there's no designation of you, but you are, given this area's reliance on CAP water. And the county is the regional sewer provider, and we do not charge higher rates to anybody just because they live in a particular area. We base our rates on true cost of service, and that's what Tucson Water should be doing for all of its ratepayers.
If this winds up before a judge, if it winds up in court, do you think Pima County has a pretty darn good case why this should not go forward?
I think what I want to shy away from anything that we are discussing with our attorneys in executive session.
I understand.
But
I
will just say we wouldn't be having these discussions if we didn't think that we had a strong case to make on behalf of not just Pima County's interests, but the interests of the aggrieved ratepayers.
All right, why don't we take our break right here? We'll have more with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. There's been a couple of developments that we want to talk to Supervisor Scott concerning the Regional Transportation Authority and what it appeared to be a deadlock between the city and the other members of the board. We're going to hear the latest from Supervisor Scott right after we take the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. If you're looking for a nice getaway, perhaps you have some time off around Thanksgiving. A lot of people are taking not just Thursday and Friday, they're taking the whole week. Maybe a trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive. Perfect time of year to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just hanging out in beautiful Silver City. All that beautiful Victorian architecture. I send so many of our listeners over there, they're very surprised. Gee, I had no idea, they say, Bill. I've lived here all my life in Tucson, never been over there. Well, give it a try. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of recreation ideas and some ideas on some great places to stay. Rex Scott with us. We continue our conversation with Supervisor Scott. 6 months, Supervisor Scott, since my accident. I can't believe it.
You know, I appreciated you sharing that dubious anniversary with me during the commercial break, Bill. I hope everything is going well with your recovery and your therapy. Please share whatever updates that you're able to share with all of us.
Well, it was a nasty injury. It was a broken arm, a right arm, which is the arm of influence for me, being right-handed. A nasty injury just below the rotator cuff. And so that injury takes a long time because scar tissue builds up. So every Wednesday, right after the show today, I'll be headed over to do my physical therapy. And, you know, it's been many months, but there's some more months ahead. But I'm pleased to report that we're going to make pretty close to a full recovery with the range of motion. I mean, I feel pretty good right now because I'm at about 90 to 100 degrees. If you stick your arms straight out, that would be considered 90. We need to get, you know, some areas back, but I'm confident we'll get there. And I don't know if you've ever gone through physical therapy, but you do reach some plateaus, which, you know, you got to work through that.
You must be that rare thing for most men, which is a good patient.
Patience has always been a problem with me, but I certainly have tried to be a more patient person this year. A very important, some are saying a breakthrough when it comes to the Regional Transportation Authority. It's known as the RTA. The voters in Pima County authorized a 20-year program, a transportation program back in 2006. It sunsets now in less than 5 years. Many in the community believe we need a program called RTA Next. The city had been hesitant to move forward. Is that hesitancy breaking down, Rex Scott?
Bill, I'm really delighted to tell you and your listeners that I think at our meeting last month, October 29th, that we did have not just one, but several breakthroughs in terms of getting off the standstill where we've been in terms of the development of an RTA Next plan. That RTA Next plan will be developed by the Citizens Advisory Committee. And we had four unanimous votes at the last RTA board meeting. And the dealing with not just the composition of the Citizens Advisory Committee, but the work that it's going to do. And we expect to have a full Citizens Advisory Committee, all 35 of its members, up and running by January. And then they can get to work on putting an RTA Next plan together to present to the RTA board for our approval. And then, most significantly, getting it out in front of the public for their review and their feedback so that we can put it on the ballot with confidence. And we're hopeful of putting it on the ballot no later than 2024 so that it can be approved and be ready to go when the current plan expires in 2026.
Mayor Romero, the mayor of the city of Tucson, was very concerned about what she called diversity of thought and diversity of experience on that Citizens Advisory Committee.
I think that Mayor Romero, as well as the mayors of Marana, Oro Valley, South Tucson, the representatives of the Native American tribes, and General Ted Maxwell, who is the representative of the Arizona State Transportation Board, all showed their willingness to engage in purposeful dialogue and meaningful compromise. And that's why we had those four unanimous votes dealing with the composition of the Citizens Advisory Committee and also also the work that it's going to be doing. And there were a couple of motions that the mayor made, Mayor Romero, that is, with regard to the composition of the CAC and also who should be responsible for picking the new members. And those motions were unanimously approved. But she also demonstrated her willingness to listen to the concerns of the mayors of the smaller jurisdictions, The concerns that I shared as the county's representative, the concerns that Chairman Yucapitzio from the Pasquayaki tribe and Chairman Norris from the Tohono O'odham Nation shared. And it really was the kind of collaborative dialogue that the public expects from the Regional Transportation Authority Board. And I'm very optimistic about our work moving forward.
Now, the RTA board will meet next in December. This is a very important meeting that will look at the voting structure of the board.
We are going to be continuing the dialogue about where we can find bases for compromise so that we can move forward with the important work that we need to do, not just on moving the next RTA plan through the process so that it gets in front of the voters in a timely fashion, but also making sure that the current RTA plan is closed out in the best interest of the entire region and the individual jurisdictions.
There would be 39 members, is that what you said on the committee?
35.
And they will hear from the public. This will be very transparent.
Definitely.
About what should be on that ballot.
Yes, absolutely. There were 22 members from the original CAC who wanted to be reappointed. We reappointed them back in the late spring.
Because they bring some good, very needed experience.
Absolutely.
As a foundation for this committee.
They definitely do, and the board unanimously voted to reappoint those 22 folks whose work has been, like everybody's work, hindered and hamstrung by the pandemic. But then they'll have 13 new colleagues, and we had 91 applicants for those 13 positions, Bill.
Wow. Is this a 20-year program that they're thinking about?
Yes,
it is.
It'll cover the period from 2026 to 2046.
Boy, so for it to work, Rex Scott, everybody's got to be on board. Let's face it.
Definitely. Absolutely.
We need people to say, you know, I feel like I've got a stake in this.
And Bill, as the county's representative to this 9-member board, I feel that it's important for me to ensure that everybody's voices are heard and respected, and to look for opportunities to facilitate dialogue and build compromise. And that has really been the focus of what I've tried to do since I joined the RTA board when I took office at the beginning of 2021.
Was Thanksgiving always a big deal at your home in Athens, Ohio?
It was, and it was... You know, my parents got divorced when I was in high school, and my siblings and I needed to, at that point, get into spending half the day with our mom and half the day with our dad. But
a divided family. That's
yes,
tough. Yeah.
And not uncommon for people of
sure.
my generation
yeah.
or subsequent generations. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's always been a holiday that I've absolutely loved enjoy the opportunity to gather with family and friends.
All right, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, who is, as we point out here, he represents Pima County on that very important RTA board. Want to wish you and yours, Rex Scott, a wonderful and a very happy and a safe Thanksgiving.
Bill, the same to you and Ann. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. I am off to my physical therapy right after the show. I will give a salute. I will raise my right arm and give a salute to Tom Fairbanks. There it is. There's that salute, a snappy salute. Tom knows all about salutes coming from a military family and moving every couple of years, every 3 years, wasn't it, Tom? No, 2 years. Wow. All over the place. All right, coming up next, Dave Ramsey, his very popular show on money. I'll be back with you Thursday. Tomorrow we will have our Buckmaster Show as usual, 12:04. Hope you have a great afternoon.